Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. As you guys know, I always love reading a good book. And when I'm able to speak to the author, that makes it even better for me. Well, author Pam Weber is making her first appearance on our program today. She's the author of the new book, The Wiregrass. We're going to talk to her not only about the book, but what it was like for her to bring these characters to life. And I think to not only entertain, but also share some powerful lessons that readers of all ages can appreciate. If you guys are just hearing about Pam, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. But Pam, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Cyrus. I'm glad to be here.
Look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I said in my review on Amazon.com that, you know, as a fellow Southerner, I love the fact that the book is set in Alabama, Pam, but it is one of these stories that I think is so universal, and we'll get more into that later. What has it been like for you, Pam? I know as a storyteller, you live with these characters for so long. What has it been like for you now to give them over to readers?
Oh, gosh. It's like birthing a child. You know, it took 4 years to write this, and it was a really long pregnancy. So when they were finally delivered, it was wonderful. And the reception to the characters has been extraordinary, and which I'm just thrilled about.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that for me, I went into the book not really knowing what to expect. I was so excited, though, that there were many layers to this book. So to me, there is the self-discovery that takes place with the main character, who is our narrator, Nettie, that goes through. But also, I think the power in numbers, the strength in numbers that we hear so much about, I think that shows itself in the book. But as I mentioned to you before we went live, the biggest thing for me, though, is realizing that, you know, your own personal power and your ability to do something and realizing that whether you choose to do something or not, that action or inaction has consequences. What was it like for you to have that dance, Pam, with these characters, to not only entertain readers, but also to share some powerful lessons along the way?
One of the things that that just keeps striking me about children is that we assume they know. We assume that they inherently know right from wrong, good from bad. And they don't. It's a fabric they weave from the time that they're old enough to understand and hear and understand what the words are saying and what they mean. It's a fabric that they put together over time, and they don't always get it right. None of us always get it right. So what I wanted to show was how children, in particularly these tweens or these adolescent teens, made their mistakes and figured it out along the way and made more mistakes and figured it out better the next time and on and on. And that is the process for them to be able to build a moral fabric.
Yeah. Did you know going into The Wiregrass, Pam, that you wanted to tell this in a singular voice, that you wanted there to be one perspective that kind of, you know, walked us through this entire adventure?
Yeah, from the time that the idea for the book came to me, that's all I really thought about, was that this would be Nettie telling the story of these extraordinary people in this extraordinary town and this extraordinary place. And I also didn't want the reader to get confused as to whose point of view it was. I think maintaining that point of view is a strength in a book, and it allows the reader to tag along with you. They identify with the character. And then they can kind of sit in the driver's seat with you as you carry them through the story.
Right. And I think that is one of the amazing things. And there, I mentioned, you know, that you're not only able to entertain, but also share these great lessons. And these lessons come in ways that I don't think, you know, I expected. You know, there's that great one, and I'll talk around it so that we won't give anything away for those who haven't read the book, Pam. But where Nettie's there with her friends and realizing as they're before this authority figure, and they're kind of, you know, talking about what they have done, realizing, you know, that, you know, okay, for some people, doing certain things may seem like just having a good time, but there really are some serious things that can happen, you know, when we make decisions that are not very wise. Do you think that was one of those coming-of-age moments for Nettie? I've found three for myself that stuck out, but do you think that was one of them, that she realized at that point as they were being questioned by this judge, you know, that they really needed to think more about what they were doing and why?
Absolutely. And it's this idea of the realization of consequences. You know, kids have no fear. You know, they have no fear because most of the time they haven't experienced any bad consequences. So not only were these kids beginning to have to face the consequences of their actions, it's who was holding them accountable and how they did it that I really wanted to make extraordinary. Because if it's these types of situations, even in real life, are handled well, then you really help those children and those teens build a strong moral fabric. If it's not handled well, then it can be devastating. And I'm not sure that they're able to move, you know, any further along that development of a sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think, you know, it goes to, you know, the other things when it comes to right or wrong with another character you introduced in the book named Mitchell. We'll talk briefly about him. For those who are just tuning in, he's on the Radio Dollar Online. You're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome Pam Weber to our program today. She's the author of the new book, The Wiregrass. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. We mentioned Nettie and, of course, some of the things that happened with her friends. Another character that is in the book, and there are many layers to him, you know, is the character Mitchell, Pam. And we won't talk much about him, so we won't spoil anything for our listeners. But I said to you before we went live that one of the big lessons to me of this book, you know, came from Mitchell, and that was, you know, the importance of perspective. And he had learned it from his mother. I kind of smiled at that point because I learned a lot of that from my grandmother. How does his character come to you initially?
You always have to, in a really good story, there has to be a central character that shows the conflict, that human condition conflict. And in The Wiregrass, Mitchell is that character. But it was also important to me to show the positive side of it, and Mitchell, through the teachings of his mother, this idea of choosing happy, that happiness is not a choice, and it's not up to anybody else to give you happiness. Happiness is inherently in you, and you make the choice, though sometimes it's really hard to do that, that you choose to be happy. And that's one of the messages that I wanted Mitchell's character to bring into the story.
Right, and it definitely comes, and I think it's a great reminder for Nettie, because as he passes that on, what he has learned to her, she reflects on it later, and I think that goes to any great lesson as well. The other thing that I thought was interesting about not only Mitchell but also Nettie and their dynamic was about the truth. You know, we have talked about in this program over the years, Pam, is there such a thing as too much truth? For Mitchell, that was something he struggled with, about how much to tell and what to do with the truth. The other young people in the book, you know, there was that same thing for them, because there is a thing of, you know, people understanding or at least judging things. What was it like for you to tackle the truth almost as a character in this book about, you know, what was told, what wasn't told, and how it affected, you know, the others involved?
That's very perceptive of you to pick up on that, Cyrus. The truth had many versions, and one of the things that the cousins were doing along the way was kind of putting their twist on the truth, you know, withholding information here, twisting, you know, information there to all further their, whatever their agenda was, or to keep themselves out of trouble. And then we found Mitchell doing the same thing, but for a different motivation, that, you know, the truth is the truth, but sometimes the truth is through our lens, and it's what our what we're seeing and what our motivation is when telling the truth.
Right. And I think that is it. And I think it goes to what I was mentioning earlier about actions having consequences, and again, for the good and the bad. But I think there is something else very strong about this. I love the fact that you even referenced yourself, Pam, that young people, the fear is not always there. And so I want to kind of create a parallel for yourself. I mean, here you've written this very intricate story, you know, that is not only entertaining, but also has some very powerful and poignant moments. I mean, what was it like for you to not only to write this story, but then to prepare it to be able to, you mentioned earlier, about the delivery, but what was it like for you to even write it, you know, to consider it being published?
There was a strong sense of responsibility. I've published in nursing, I have published a book and articles and all that kind of stuff, and there's always a sense of responsibility there towards you know, and for nurses and patients. But in this, the responsibility was my family, my children, my grandchildren, and on down the line, you know, great-grandchildren, you know, when they come and all that kind of stuff. It was this was going to be a story that at some point my family was going to read, and I wanted it to be not only entertaining, but the messages that have been powerful in my life, I wanted them to be able to see those messages inherently throughout the story, whether I'm around 50 years from now to tell them or not.
Right. Did you know going into the story, as I referenced earlier, of course, the book is set in the South, but did you realize going in that this was a book that was so much bigger than Alabama? It really was, you know, so full of universal messages that people, no matter where they may live in the world, will be able to pick it up and to see a part of themselves and their own world in it.
I hope so. The South is just so rich for storytelling, and I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir when I tell you that, being from Mississippi and all the great authors that have come from Mississippi. But it's a rich environment for storytelling. The culture just kind of embraces storytelling. But you're right, the lessons, the moral fabric pieces, those are universal. And
yes,
it could have been told in Virginia or New York or, you know, even California. But because my family has roots in the South, specifically in the Wiregrass, I kind of wanted to be able to pull that in so they would know where their, you know, grandmother came from and their cousins and so forth.
Yeah. You have been able to, along this journey, even before the book's release, you've already been kind of, you know, being able to, you know, grab people, you know, not only, of course, by the synopsis of the book, Pam, but also, you know, kind of using the Internet, as we all do these days, to kind of build this coalition of support. I mean, what has that been like for you, to be able to have people who you don't know, to have these individuals come, be able to join you? You're now over 5,000 strong on your Facebook fan page. I mean, what is that like for you to see the way that people are not only coming to you, but also interested in this story?
Humbling. Prior to doing this, I was not a huge social media person. I had a Facebook page, obviously, to see pictures of my family and stuff like that. But before I got Stephanie Barco as a publicist, and she gave me a real education, she really taught me about the importance of building the social media. So I stepped out in faith in getting it done, and the response was incredible. The words of encouragement that I have gotten from people, complete strangers, has just been very humbling, and I'm very appreciative of it. And it just reinforces to me there are a lot of really good people out there.
Right. It really is. And that is so funny that you mentioned that, because that is one of the things that comes across even in the Wiregrass. There are some, unfortunately, some not too nice people out there, I guess is a way of putting it mildly. But, you know, the world is full of good, and it really is up to the good to make sure that light never goes out. Is that also one of the things that you hope readers take away from this, that the only way that the darkness can't win is if we continue to shine the light?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the human condition is the human condition, and because it is that, there are going to be good people and there are going to be bad people. Being good is a choice. Being bad is a choice. And whether you're in the Wiregrass in the Deep South or Virginia or New York or Canada, you know, people are people, and you're going to have that dichotomy of good versus bad. And, yeah, that was brought into the book intentionally because, I didn't want to give such a sunny perception that it wasn't real, that this really could not have happened. It's fiction, but that it really could not have happened, and it was based in things that happened to people, both in the good sense and the bad sense.
Exactly. So true. There's a strong granny in this book, Pam. I had a very strong granny that I unfortunately lost last year. But Aunt Pity was one of those individuals, I think, that was so full of lessons, as my grandmother was. And I think so many of our listeners out there know what it's like. What was it like for you to create that character, to kind of have her be not only this caring figure, but also a voice of reason for Nettie and others?
Extraordinary. I had a lot of fun with that character, and I had some rich family members that I was able to draw from, strong women that I was able to pull characteristics for this Aunt Petty character, and they need the children needed to know that there was that figure, that accountability figure, that person that was going to hold them responsible, but also love them unconditionally and be their defender to against all comers. That person was in their lives, and I hope everybody's got one of those people in their lives.
Right, and I think that is, again, another thing. One of the powerful lessons that she gives to Nettie and to Nettie's friends, has to do with regret. And I think so many times, and I thought this was really interesting because I think we as adults, we need this reminder sometimes too. It's so easy to say, I'm sorry sometimes, but what exactly are you sorry for? Are you sorry for what you actually did, how it affected the person, or that you were caught in whatever was going on? And there's that great line that Aunt Petty says, regret doesn't make a wrong right. It just says you knew better than to do what you did. If you all had thought about the shoulda, coulda, wouldas before you acted so stupidly, regret would have no place to land now. I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, what was it like for you to share these little nuggets with not only the characters, but also, with all of us? Because the other great one that I had made a note of was pain is a wicked but effective teacher. Again, another reminder sometimes for the things that we do. I mean, talk to us about kind of how that, those words of wisdom that she had, where those came from for you.
The a lot of it came from my own kids. It was like, Mama, I should have, Mama, I could have, I would have. But it really was after the fact when they knew better than to do something that they had done, and that the shoulda, coulda, wouldas are simply words of regret.
Yeah.
The pain of the wicked teacher, that's something that I have seen both as a mother and as a nurse. That, you see people having physical and mental consequences of their actions, and it is that pain, that psychological pain, that physical pain. It is a powerful behavior modifier, and sometimes it can be used constructively, and sometimes not so.
Yeah, I think that is the thing, and I think it's something that Nettie definitely realizes, and we see how Nettie does actually think about these things sometimes after the fact, unfortunately, but I mean, she definitely takes it in, and she's able to use it, and I think that is one of the great things about life, being able to realize that just because you make a mistake, if you're fortunate enough to live through it, then you're definitely able to, to not only learn, but also, I think, become better off. Was that kind of your hope for Nettie, that she would be able to take these bumps in the road and to be able to use them as her life progresses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, one of the things that I wanted that character to do was to be able to demonstrate the beginning development of faith and the development of a moral fabric of what is right and what is wrong. And Nettie provided a really good medium for the dialogue to go there, where she was as opposed to where John David was or J.D. in the book. That dialogue to explore, tough subjects was good. And, yeah, that was intentional. I wanted that in there.
Yeah. Speaking of tough subjects, and this we can definitely talk around so that we won't spoil anything. I mean, the storyline that kind of, develops through the book when it comes to Mitchell, and I'll just kind of leave it there. I mean, what was that like for you to write? For one thing, because you've already put us into the skin of Nettie, and Nettie having the feelings that she has for Mitchell, what was it like for you to kind of give him that burden to be able to carry throughout the book?
See, I wanted to get across in words so the readers could pick up on this vulnerability of children. That many times they have no voice and they have no choice about what happens to them, either they don't have it or they feel that they don't have it, and what happens when they discover that yes, indeed they do have some power over their own lives. It may not be much, but it's a nugget of power. And Mitchell was the character that allowed me to do that. That. Mm-hmm. You can see a character move from no voice, no choice, into the choice of to make his own choice about what he does and where he goes.
Yeah, what a powerful thing, and what a great lesson, I think, for all of us as well. So now that the book has been released, I know you're having conversations like you're having with me. Pam, I mean, has that been part of the rewarding part now after the birth of the Wiregrass, being able to kind of hear different perspectives, you know, like we're engaging in here, and from the readers? Has that been part of the joy for you?
It has. The interesting thing is the number of people that strangers that will contact me and just say that it touched them. And that was powerful. You know, I expected feedback. I'm an educator, so I get feedback all the time. But the touching of somebody personally, either with one of the themes that was in the story or how something was handled, that was powerful. And it was an unexpected pleasure. I wasn't sure. No author is 100% sure how the book is going to be received. I had had some really good feedback along the way, but until it hits the masses, you just never know. And so far, I have been thrilled.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely thrilled with the book as well. I know that our listeners who haven't had a chance to read it, they'll be able to do that after we tell them, of course, how they can get it. Again, Pam Weber is our guest. We're discussing the book, The Wiregrass, with her. Pam, I want you to stay with us. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to let our listeners know how they can stay connected with you. And I also want you to talk to those aspiring writers out there. And I'm going to ask you about what advice you have for them about the importance of seeing their project through to the end, okay?
Okay.
You all stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Siri Austin Entertainment presents award-winning author Iris Bowling's latest release, Fatal Mistake. Can you have love without trust? Sports agent Nicholas Brooks placed his trust in the wrong hands. For Erica Kennedy, it was a sting operation gone bad. Nicholas Brooks was her one fatal mistake. Romance that entertains, educates, and inspires. Get your copy of Fatal Mistake today at irisbowling.net.
Looking for a cool mystery to help you get through the summer? Author Paul Jansen has just the book for you. It's called The Ice Cream War. Jerry, a California surfer, returns to his hometown and opens an ice cream shop where he is giving away his ice cream. This threatens Mary, owner of the only other ice cream shop in town, with disaster until there is a murder in Jerry's shop. Mary then finds herself trying to prove that Jerry didn't kill anyone, and Jerry ends up working beside her in her ice cream shop. The plot continues to thicken along the way, and between the war and the murder, things are getting as sticky as fudge in a hot July day, with four-year-old murders adding to the mystery. You can get your own copy of the cool read, The Ice Cream War, on Amazon.com, both in paperback as well as on Kindle, and you can find out more information about Paul Jansen on his website at www.pauljansen.com. That's www.pauljansen.com.
I used to drive all over town for low prices, but now I let Walmart's incredible new Savings Catcher do the work for me. I just enter my Walmart receipt online and Savings Catcher does the rest. It compares the prices I paid for items at Walmart with advertised prices from other top stores in my area. And if Savings Catcher finds a lower advertised price, Walmart gives me the difference on an e-gift card. Now that's my kind of work.
Introducing Savings Catcher from Walmart. Go to walmart.com/savingscatcher for details. Eligible items only. Restrictions apply.
And we're back with Conversations Live, our final moments with author Pam Weber. We've been talking to her not only about her literary journey that gave birth to the book The Wiregrass, but what it was like for her to create a great cast of characters that, regardless of where you live in the world, I think you'll be able to definitely relate to them. Pam, I said to you before we went live here, before this commercial break here, that I wanted to talk about others out there who may have the desire to be able to share a story. Maybe they feel as though, like we've all heard, that we have a story in them. I know they've already been reaching out to you because it seems like once an author publishes a book and people are learning about them, the questions start coming in. What can I do and what advice do you have? What do you normally tell them? I mean, what do you normally say to them about the importance of just writing the story and getting it down?
To write it. A lot of people that I've talked with, they start worrying about editing and, you know, putting the things in right order and some of the logistics of the how-tos and what not to do's and what to do before they ever get any words on the paper. And they need to just let go of that. Let go of editing before you ever have anything to edit and just get the words on the paper. That's what I did. When I started writing, I just wrote. And, of course, there were months afterwards where I sculpted it and edited it and, you know, polished along with the help of some great publication editors. But the important thing is to get the words down. So many people say they wanted to write a book or they started to write a book and they just haven't finished. They put obstacles in front of themselves in their mind and never really get down to putting pen to paper. And you need to do it. And whether you end up with 1,000 words or 100,000 words, at least it's something that you can begin to mold and sculpt.
Right, exactly. And you can't mold anything until you put it on the paper, so that's great advice.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I don't think I'm giving anything away when I ask you this next question, Pam, but you can answer it however you'd like to. My feelings won't be hurt too bad, I don't think.
Okay.
But was it difficult to say goodbye at the end to the characters?
Oh, Lord, yes. You know, if you live with them for 4 years and they become very real people to you, and it's hard. But if I ever miss them too much, I pick it up and I read it, or parts of it. And I don't know any author that doesn't go to publication and wish they had one more chance to edit this or polish that. So I go back and I say, oh, well, if I had it to do over again, I'd change this line or change this word. But yeah, it is, because you spend a lot of time forming them, what they're going to say, how they're going to say it, who they're going to say it to, and setting that theme so it's progressive all the way towards the end. And, yes, it is hard to say goodbye.
Yeah. Well, I guess the follow-up question would be this. Do you think we'll hear from any of them again?
You mean is there going to be a sequel?
Right.
I'm working on the second book now, and I really have not decided for sure yet, but it's a strong possibility.
Strong possibility. Okay, well, we will definitely be on the lookout. I won't push any further on that. We'll definitely be staying connected with you. Again, everyone, Pam Weber has been our guest for the segment. Great conversation with you today, Pam. The book is The Wiregrass, so make sure you guys get it for yourself. It is available, of course, through Kindle or in print through our friends at Amazon.com, or you can always order it from your favorite bookstore. If they don't have it in stock for you, they'll be glad to get it for you. Pam, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
They can always go to www.thewiregrass.com or pamweber.com, either one. They will both get you there. And I try to keep things that are happening with the book posted there. So that would be a good place to check and to also make contact. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook as well.
All right, there you go. You can always stay connected with her on Facebook. Pam, again, I appreciate you. You mentioned Stephanie Barco earlier. We definitely thank Stephanie for introducing me to your book and also for setting up this conversation. And, Pam, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. Look forward to staying connected with you.
Thanks so much, Cyrus. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Well, look, I appreciate the opportunity. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come at the bottom of the hour. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right now completely for free. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Again, we thank author Pam Weber for stopping by. Thanks, Stephanie Barco, for setting up the conversation. And always, we thank you for tuning in to another edition of Conversations Live, either on the radio dial or online. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.